This is your ADD cast for Saturday, December 3rd, 2005. Greetings, everyone. Coming to you from high atop our luxury deluxe townhome in the heart of Tyson's Corner, Virginia. I am Paul Fisher, and this is your ADD cast. And right now, I am looking at the most beautiful thing I have seen in a week. That would be my wife. I happen to be holding up a beer at the same time. And tonight, we are back in our closet-sized studio and drinking beer and having fun and doing the laundry. And we also have a guest tonight coming to us from Manassas, Virginia. We have Hugh Brackett, fellow podcaster.
Hello.
Greetings.
I don't know how much of a fellow podcaster I am. I have exactly one podcast out so far.
Well, you know.
That makes me an official podcaster.
Hold on. Let me see if I can get this down. The first one's free.
Yeah, I've got plenty of ideas for things to do. So
cool.
There will be more. It's not. I won't be a one shot wonder.
Good. Well, let me.
Or non wonder. More. More likely.
Well, and rounding out tonight's trio of wonderful people, my sweetie.
Hey, hon.
Hi, sweetie.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I am enjoying a beer that I brought back to me. Brought back with me. I've only had like three sips of this thing.
You brought it back to you as well because
yes,
you're now drinking
that's correct.
It.
I brought it back with me from California. This is a Gordon Biersch Blonde Bock, which we cannot get here on the East Coast. And I have just returned from California.
Yes.
What are you drinking tonight?
I am enjoying a Stouts Triple, and it says bottle conditioned Belgian Abbey style ale, and it is quite delicious.
And what's on the bottle there?
On the bottle, looks like some extremely happy monks on the bottle.
There you go.
Yes. Yep. Three very, very happy monks.
Tipsy yeah. fellows.
Yes.
I enjoy the Trappist ale and the Abbey style ales quite a bit.
They sure knew how to brew.
They certainly they did, and they still do.
Still do, yes.
So what are you drinking tonight, sweetie?
Honey, I'm drinking a Gordon Biersch Blonde Bock because you praised it so highly.
I had one when I was guesting on Dragon Page winging it, mm-hmm. and it was so good, I had to bring some home with me.
Right.
And what do you think of it?
It's delish.
It really is. It's just got that bitter, and it's smooth with a capital smooth.
And this Stouts is, it's wonderful. It has, I'm going to try to pass myself off as a
beer
fisherman. Has a wonderful blah 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 blah.
It's a lovely nose.
And a hint of caramel in the aftertaste.
It's got legs.
It tastes good. I like it. There is your review. That's what I do with music as well. I can't do this. I don't think I know enough about music to be a music critic. So what I say about the only thing I'll say about something, it sounds good. I like it.
Okay.
Know? So, you know, that's if you need more than that, you need a different reviewer, you know, but, one of the things, I use emusic.com. I don't know if you guys have run into that or not.
No,
it's
I haven't
subscription
checked
service.
It out
yet. It's all independent music. You won't find major label stuff on there at all. It's a very, very good deal. I think the cheapest subscription's like about $15 a month for 40 downloads. But I wouldn't know because I'm signed up for the 90 download. Well, wow. It's been a long time since I knew how much the cheapest one is. So yeah, and it's absolutely no trouble to find 90 tracks that you want.
Yeah, see, I'm enjoying. Well, right now we're really I guess pimping the hell out of Bottomland is what it comes down to.
Oh, but they're so good.
They are so good. Why can't I think of his last name?
I don't know.
It's not
Did
Jeff
you have
either.
Your suspicions?
My brain is just, it's mush tonight. I can't even, I don't know what's going on inside my head. It must be beer.
or the lack thereof. We've had about half of ours and. Actually, it looks like Hugh is ready for his second one, and you've only taken a few sips, so you might need to be more lubricated, honey.
I think I probably do need more. It's Matt Jones. Why did I say Jeff? I don't know who I'm talking about.
You knew there was a J in it somewhere?
Yeah, somewhere. But Matt Jones from Bottomland was office mates with Martha's sister. Julie. So... He spent like 6 months mixing the CD, and he would constantly be bringing in music and asking her what she thought of different tracks, and she loved it every which way that it was mixed. So we got invited through her to go to the CD release party, and as I've said before, this is the first CD that we had to own three of.
Because that's the one you needed, one for each car and for
and one for the house.
We bought one, and it stayed in my car.
That was pre-pod iPod days.
Yeah.
Now, I try to keep real CDs, by which I mean ones that you paid money for, out of my car, just because, for one thing, I don't trust car CD players.
No, they ruin your CDs.
Well, yeah, right, because it sucks the CD down into a mysterious hole, and you don't know what's in there. I mean, I do because I'm a
technical
geek person, but you know what I mean. I mean, it goes in there, and maybe it'll feel like giving it back to you, and maybe it won't, you know? And maybe it won't have another scratch on it when it comes out. And the other thing that's happened to me is fumbling the disc, you know, when you try to take it out. So I'm not consistent, and I was just playing. I bought a Jonathan Coulton CD last night at his show downtown. And
he was here?
Yes.
Ah, son of a bitch.
I'll tell you what. I would not have known. I would have missed that show, except for Mark Foreman. Beer is working. That's good stuff. Stouts triple, ladies and gentlemen. Stouts triple with the three extremely happy monks. That is absolutely truth, like, in advertising.
That's like 9% beer that you're drinking, too.
Oh, man.
That's like, I don't know, like nine times nice. Stronger than the American water most people drink.
Anyway, where was I? With Jonathan Coulton. Oh, yes. Okay. So my friend in Taiwan, Mark Foreman, the Brooklyn blues man, reigning shogun of Taiwan. Let me tell you, he plays a lot of music. He plays some great stuff. That's a show you want to listen to. I do not. That goes in the top of my listening queue when that comes out. Because the only thing that's ever bumped him out of the top of my top slot is Dave Slusher's Portable Media Expo talk that he gave.
Okay, I haven't. Has he released that yet?
Yes,
On his regular podcast feed. Or did it come out through a different way? Because I know they were talking about putting it out on IT Conversations.
I
love Dave Slusher.
Tell you the truth, I downloaded it from a link that.
Honey, I'm getting jealous.
Yeah. Tell you the truth, I think I downloaded it from a link Mark Foreman gave me, so I don't know if it's actually officially out or not.
Oops.
But I can send you. I don't know. He said it was out, but I don't know. I don't think it hasn't come up on IT Conversations.
Well,
I don't think.
My understanding is that the guys who recorded for the Portable Media and Sewage Expo are going to release all that stuff, Creative Commons anyway. But I, you know, Dave was talking about putting the faces up behind him when he did his talk about,
right,
you know, embracing your audience. And that very same day, I took a new picture of myself and sent it to him because I wanted to be like the first one, you know, in that rotation.
I don't know how they I don't know if he sequenced them or just dropped them in a directory and let them play, you know.
I guess
you Macintosh people have folders, don't you?
We do.
Yes.
We
call them folders too in Windows Land, but we kind of go both ways.
Hey man, this is a Unix box. That's all I care about.
Yeah, that's right. It's Unix underneath it. That's
right. It's Unix underneath it, and it's got some really fine applications that don't form like GarageBand.
And I'm using Windows 2000, and it has just enough of VMS in it to make me not hate it.
Mm.
So, but otherwise, I'll probably. I'm almost to the point where I'm ready to erase that thing and stick something like Ubuntu onto it. The only problem is the thing is, and it's not even, you know, it's a weird kind of lockdown because I have all my favorite apps.
Yeah.
Right. So like, just if we took your Macintosh away and gave you, I don't know, like a Solaris box or something, you wouldn't be happy because, you know, GarageBand probably isn't going to run on it and stuff like that. So no matter how great what we give you is, you've got to replace all your little pet apps that you figured out how to do stuff with.
Right.
And that's, for me, is the, you know, the reason I don't just, you know, format the C drive and install something more rational onto it is that, you know, like there's, you know, a half a dozen apps that I don't particularly care to live without.
There's OS X for x86.
Yeah.
Floating around on the internet. And there are people who would tell you how to install it.
Yeah,
but I know what you mean. It's about the applications and the usability.
It's still the entire learning curve.
oh man, that's a good microphone. If it picked that up,
I like fidelity.
I like opened the window and burped out the window, and it still picked it up. Breeze must be blowing the wrong way.
That's right.
Yeah, we need to hijack some more of the technology that the radio broadcasters have, because they have the call, you know, they have the cough button,
but
you know, and
see,
stuff.
I think that's part of the glory of podcasting is that, you know, I can understand
warts
that,
and all.
Yeah, I can understand, like, if I had a sneeze,
yeah,
I might want to not blow the mic out.
Yeah,
but I'm drinking beer while I'm podcasting.
Well, you know, a sneeze, honey, would actually test the efficacy of those pee popper stoppers.
Oh, no. Believe me, honey, if you listen to our episode one, you will know the efficacy of these pee popper stoppers that you made.
Well, you know, I just wanted to test the outer test limits.
Pee popper stoppers, not too bad.
No, it's not too bad.
Do you know the one that was on the Monkees album many years ago? Goes on. Peter Percival Patterson had a pet pig named Porky. This pet pig Porky loved pie. He loved pizza pie, pumpkin pie, pineapple pie, and mince tarts. But Peter Percival Patterson's pet pig Porky ate so much pie that, you know what he did? He popped. Now I can recite that.
And on that note, we're going to take a little break and play you some promos.
In the last episode of The Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd, evil Dr. Steve and his sock-shaped assistant Fidget were plotting ways to do in their arch-nemesis and our hero, Dr. Floyd.
Fidget, that Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd show has become too popular and too family-friendly. Once we use this Trojan horse on their computer system, it'll ruin drfloyd.com for good. Of course it'll work. Now help me load it.
Now let's catch up with our heroes, Dr. Floyd, Dr. Grant, and their robot companion Chips, who are currently hurtling through the time and space stream.
Golly, Dr. Floyd, I've just finished uploading the latest episode of our show to drfloyd.com so people can download it for free.
That's great, Dr. Grant.
Chip says that Dr. Steve has recently been researching Trojan horses.
He must be planning an attack on our website. Hand me the antivirus disk.
Here you go.
Now hand me the anti-spyware disk.
Got it.
Now hand me the anti-inflammatory cream.
What's that for?
My back hurts.
Okay, the computer is updated.
All right, now watch for any signs of Trojan horse attacks.
I'll get it. Hey, there's a big wooden horse out here.
Hello, I'm the Trojan horse.
Problem solved.
Tune in to the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd at drfloyd.com. That's DOCTOR. FLOID.com. Guaranteed Trojan horse free.
It's Adam Curry. Transmitters,
I want to be famous.
Continue with the promo.
The god of podcast.
We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Daily Source Code.
Podcasting. It's...
Are you done listening yet?
Let's get to the real thing.
I think I'm digging it already.
Can you feel it?
I love this stuff.
Hello, children. Are you ready to have fun today?
Oh, it's time for some swearing and it's time for some fun. It's time for some essays, so let's get begun. It's time for something that certainly isn't hip, where all the nerds hang out at Geek Foo Action Grip. Oh, grip. Everybody who listens to this podcast needs to get a grip.
This is a podcast where you'll hear a mother.
Damn it, I am the mother here!
A fangirl.
I've wanted you from long ago.
A geek.
I am mighty!
A gamer.
I want to cast magic missile.
And a writer.
Mistaken identities, shipwreck, pirate king, a bit with a dog, and love triumphant.
Talk about, well, whatever the hell comes to her mind, and read various geeky essays, often discussing things like the homoerotic dance of the frat boy, the various geek crushes that people get, anywhere from Will Wheaton to the former host of Blue's Clues, Steve Burns.
Will you help me?
Very odd stories from a geeky childhood, and simple delusions of grandeur.
When the world is mine, your death shall be quick and painless.
If you like David Sedaris and Sarah Vowell, but you think they need a geekier edge, then you should listen to my podcast. Geek Foo Action Grip, geekfooactiongrip.com. Other action figures sold separately. A proud member of the Science Fiction Podcast Network at tsfpn.com.
Our other podcast, the Balticon podcast, will hopefully soon be a proud member of the TSFPN as well. You have to have a promo to be in TSFPN. And I'm working on the promo now, and I really wish I were T. Morris, because he's really great at self-promotion, and I'm not. But I'm prettier. I think you like that one, sweet.
Yes. Okay. I'll just be contemplating that one for a while.
Hugh, I wanted to talk to you about podcast formats, because we're essentially we have multiple podcast formats depending on who's around. I'll do a solo cast, just me. If it's just me and Martha, we'll do a laundry cast. If someone else comes in, it's a trio. If it's me and my friend Eric, then it's a testosticast.
And I bow out.
Yeah, yeah. By necessity, you seem to have picked up a format that I had never heard before, where you tell a story that's maybe about 5 minutes long, and you talk for a minute, and then you insert a song that's related to what you're talking about.
Yes.
Now, is that a format that you came up with?
I stole it from Mark Forman.
Yay! Here's to thievery.
Yes.
So, here's to theft.
actually, with his blessing, of course. But what actually happened is when I started doing that particular podcast, I wanted to play some music, and there was in that story, since no one's probably heard it, because I think I have 10 subscriptions to my feed, and I think at least 4 of them are bots. Yeah, but since you've probably not heard it, I basically talk about how I got started podcasting, what I wanted to do, which is to read books for the main part. And hang on while my brain resets. This is the Stout's Triple Bock, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I talked to Mark Forman, and I had listened to some of his things. One of the things that I like that he does is what he calls sound stories. And he actually makes a story, a fictional story about a person in a situation. He did one where somebody had to go to Canada and took a train ride and so forth or something like that. So I was telling the story of how what I had to do to get the rights to read something that was not Creative Commons license or public domain. So that involves negotiating with the publisher, and the publisher was actually quite nice person. Yet it was much like the process of trying to get into a school or land a job with an interview or something like that.
So this is a lot like what the podcasting community has been talking about. Adam Curry talks about it a lot. You know, it's like if you wanted to play a song from, 1970 that it just happens to be a really great song, but it was something that was popular, you know, when you were younger. It might take you months just to track down yes. who owns the rights to that song
yes.
in order to get permission to play it.
Yes. A podcast that I like is one. It's called Stacy in the City. It's stacyinthecity.com, and it's almost entirely music. If she talks for 4 minutes on that show in the process of playing, I don't know, like six tracks or something, that's and she doesn't talk a whole lot, plays a lot of really great music. But what she does is she picks the bands she wants to play, and then she contacts those bands and tries to get the rights to play their music on her podcast. So her podcasts don't come out real often because of that. And I think she's mentioned before that it takes a long time.
So what you guys are telling me is that there needs to be a resource, an easily used resource on the web to identify the owners of the music and with their contact information so that people can actually get permissions.
Well, there used to be a way to do that because publishers used to be required, if you wanted a copyright and you wanted to control how people used your work, you were required to register the copyright with the Copyright Office. And if you didn't, you had no copyright.
Right.
And that way, there was a record that you could go consult and find out who owned something if you wanted to do something with it. If you wanted to go to somebody who published a book. One of the books I want to read is called The Door That Walked Away. It's a collection of short stories. It was published, I think, like 1959. And I can't quite recall the name of the gentleman who wrote it. They're really great stories. And I am going to read it because I did some research and I found the copyright registration, the original one, did not find the renewal. And because of the time period that's in, since it wasn't renewed, it should not be under copyright. The other thing is the guy seems to have dropped off the planet and any other thing connected with it I couldn't find. So I kind of think there's nobody around to sue me, even if it's not really public domain yet.
There's someone out there.
I don't know. I mean, you know, his estate, his heirs or something, maybe they own something,
You really need to check on that. I've attended a talk that Cory Doctorow does on the Creative Commons license and and don't quote me on the dates, but you know, it's like anything that was published before like 1929 or something that is public domain. Anything that was published after like 1972, and again, I'm right. not positive on the years, is automatically in copyright.
Right.
He's got this chart based on when the original was published and whether right. or not anyone renewed it and blah, blah, blah. And it's convoluted. And I went through the same thing. We're at the next Balticon, we're going to do an excerpt from a book called, what is it?
I only know it as
It's The Remarkable Exploits of Lancelot Biggs, Spaceman.
Uh-huh.
And this was one of Martha's favorite books
high school. It was great.
When she was a teenager. And it's by a gentleman named Nelson Bond, who I actually tracked down. And he's 94, 96. He went blind like 3 years ago.
But he has a new book coming out.
Wow. This is the kind of guy that makes me feel like I've accomplished nothing in my life.
Yeah.
And he's...
great guy.
He's a great guy. I talked to him on the phone. I explained what I wanted to do. I'm not sure he understands podcasting. We're going to record it as a live audio, a live play at Balticon,
right?
And get people to play the parts, and then we're going to release it as part of the podcast feed. And I had to get permission from two of his publishers, and then I got before he had the final say on it. But he has okayed it, and I don't know. There are others in the podcasting community who have been mentioned on this show in the past who are helping convert the chapters of the book that we are allowed to do as a play into a script format. And my hope is that we will get the... we'll get some interest from the teens or the young fans at Balticon and have them read a bunch of the voices.
Wow, that's interesting, and it's a very interesting coincidence that you mentioned that, because before I came over here, what I was doing was editing a script for the term I've. Again, Stout's Triple, ladies and gentlemen. Term that I
almost said porn.
Did. This is one bottle, and I can assure you, the people here will attest, I am not a small person. I recently did drop below 300 pounds, but if we are talking about normal American beer, I can chug two of them, and I probably am still legal to drive. But this stouts with the very happy let's call them elves.
They're elvish monks.
Yeah, the very high.
So you'll be having coffee with us afterwards.
Definitely, I think I may have to sleep on your floor.
We got a bed right here
in the luxury studio, and I'm going to blow you guys cover right now, because Paul always talks about the closet-sized studio. I am sitting in it, and it is not closet-sized. It's
smaller.
It's good try. Let me see. It's got one of the walls is kind of an odd convoluted shape. But you could probably put an 8x10 foot rectangle in here, like an 8x10 carpet. You could lay it out on the floor and not hit any walls. And then there's another area where the door is that's got creates some more open space so that you don't feel like you're
right
trapped in a tiny hole.
Actually, you couldn't put an 8x10 in here because this bed.
Well, I'm speaking if there wasn't a bed in here.
Well,
the size of the room.
No. This bed is not 8 feet long, and it would only just fit in that against the wall that you are behind. So it's only you can only 6x10.
Yeah, 6x10.
It's because of that convoluted wall shape. But anyway, once you get a table, a bed, three people, three chairs, three microphone stands, we do actually have a light.
Right. Yeah. So we were talking about scripts, and before I came over here, I was editing a script that I'm working on.
Well, let me stop you right there. Okay. One of the reasons that he is joining us, because he is another ADD sufferer, the whole point of the show is really that it really is ADD theater. And wow, what was that?
Focus. Lights on the mixer. Let's turn the knobs a little bit. Yeah.
It's that jumping back and forth between no focus and hyper focus.
Yes.
That script you were talking about.
Yes.
Yes. The script, yes.
So you said you came up with a phrase for script for podcasting.
Yeah, that was almost 20 things ago.
You almost said porn something.
That was before the...
Porn to phrase.
Yeah, that was before the monks came along.
The okay. Elvish monks.
Yes. So... The phrase I came up with this afternoon is pod play.
Pod play.
Sounds like something whales do.
In fact, I'm sure it is. I don't know. It is something. Yeah, well, you know, it could also be, you know, the intro to whale sex instead of foreplay would be pod play. Well, if you want to bring whales into it.
There's no whales in my script.
All right.
I could go next door and get the whales.
Keep whales next door.
Yeah. Just it is. Cute. It's a luxury deluxe townhome. They, it is they a come with talent. Whales.
Yes.
Long reach back. I just happened to have these scripts here with me.
Long
by amazing coincidence.
He lies. It was not a long reach back. And were we not in a actually in a closet, he would not have been able to reach that.
Okay. So this is what I'm working on. This is a project I only started a couple days ago.
Ooh.
Wait, I have to change glasses.
Uh-oh, okay. So, Terry Heaton published a short story, and it's much shorter than this script, which is 1.5 spaced and has directions and stuff like that in it, entitled A Broadcaster's Christmas Carol. He published this last year.
Should we initial at the bottom of each page?
No, that's not. No, you're not buying
it. Sign on the line.
You're not buying it, and as a matter of fact, it's already Creative Commons licensed, attribution non-commercial 2.5.
Cool.
Which is in there.
No derivatives? Or derivatives?
Just attribution non-commercial. You can make a derivative work if you can figure out what you want to do with it.
What you want to cut out
of it. What you're going to, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
So you have this whole thing laid out in actual script format.
Yes, I found a nice template. Now this is the Evil Empire Microsoft, Microsoft Word.
It has a script template.
There is one in the online.
Oh,
it's one of the online things, right? So yeah. I searched for script and and came up with one. I was very happy, and unfortunately, I don't recall who made it, but it's very nice. I rated it. I think 4 stars because it wasn't precisely what I was looking for, but it's a very good. It's a very good template, and I tweaked it just a little bit.
Cool.
So, what I did is, I took this, which is obviously written in a narrative story format, and remixed it into a script for a play. I took some of the things that the narrator says. Some of the things that the narrator says are going to be replaced by sound effects, like the narrator isn't going to say, and the clock struck 2, because it's just going to have the clock striking 2. And a few things that the narrator says, I have one of the characters say, or just changed it a little bit. Cool. And I have permission to do all of this stuff from Terry. He's
Who is he? I mean, he's obviously an author. Where do you know where he's based out of? Or
he has a website. I did not know him before. I found him when I was I was searching Google for some Creative Commons Christmas music, and a blog last year had posted apparently some mention of some Creative Commons Christmas music, and also a little excerpt from this story. And a link to it, and that's how I found it. And as soon as I saw it, I wanted to do something with it.
Cool. So I'm guessing you've either identified your cast or you're working on
casting call is out right now.
I see that the closeout date on that is the 7th of December.
Yes, very short time frame. This is coming out for this year.
Well, in that case, I'll get this podcast published tomorrow,
right?
So that the ADD cast listeners, which are now numbering in the triple digits, which is, kind of surprising to us because
we don't know that many people.
Yeah.
So,
but we love you all.
We do, and we really wish you would send us email at addcast@gmail.com. Plug.
Yes, and we will send you one of our special cables.
Power cables.
Mm-hmm.
Power cable or an audio cable. I got a garage full of cables.
Oh, I'll have to look through the inventory
and actually,
get a lovely parting gift.
If someone is looking to hack a CVS camera, I picked up 3 Palm 3 sink cradles while I was out in California. Mm.
California. I read this camera for. I actually have a CVS camera with me.
Do you?
Yes, I do. Which connects. I was hoping to do something with Jonathan Colton and John Hodgman last night after their show.
Where did they play, by the way?
It's a place called The Warehouse.
Is that downtown?
It's downtown, yeah.
It's D.C.?
It's D.C.
Damn. You couldn't have made it.
7th Street.
I know I couldn't have made it.
It's like about, it's just below 7th and 8th across from the new convention center.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well,
I started to tell about that, you know, because this is ADcast, so several topics ago. I would not have known about that show, but Mark Forman in Taiwan popped up on my Skype on, I think, Thursday. It was either Wednesday or Thursday night. Really short notice. And I had been looking at John Hodgman's site, areasofmyexpertise.com, for his new book. You know, and he's got his dates, and the last one that was up there was Baltimore, and I had been like trying to check it every day because I'm thinking, look, he's in Baltimore. Baltimore is close to D.C., you know, and he was heading south. You know, well, it turned out the information was actually on Jonathan Colton's site, and Mark had just interviewed Jonathan Colton, so he knew where they were going to, and he knew where I was. So it took somebody in Taiwan to tell me what was going on in my town.
All right.
Isn't the internet wonderful?
It's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
It's wonderful. And the we talk a lot about connection, you know, the connections. And that's really it. Because, you know, that kind of stuff just didn't used to happen.
No, not at all. But that's so cool. I really want to meet Jonathan Colton. And
he's a wonderful guy. He's a really nice guy.
I want to get him in for an interview. And it pains me that I missed him while he was in the area. But
yeah,
there was no way I could have made it because I was flying. So
yeah. Well, the plan was that I was gonna kind of hang out and drink beer or whatever mm-hmm. with Jonathan Colton and John Hodgman after their show. But what happened is they filled up the room for the show, and there were enough people wanting to get in to fill the room again.
Oh, that's so cool.
So they added a show. So what they did is they did the first show, which was upstairs in the warehouse in a pretty small room. It came down, signed books and CDs, and then did another show at 10:30, which I almost didn't get into, but the people down there were pretty cool, and they let some of us stand outside in this little hall, narrow hallway area, and we could kind of like peek in and see what they were doing, and we could hear it. So I didn't think I was going to see the show at all, but I did.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you got to see it. I'm sad that I didn't get to see it.
And I'm going to guess that having led up to this, that you're going to tell us it was a great show.
It was fantastic. But I'm not giving away any of it.
Okay.
Cool. Well, we're running kind of long here, and we have a long song to put in at the end. So I think we're going to end it here and roll on out. Make sure this gets out in time for Hugh's casting call to get out. So
can I plug the website? Where they
plug the website.
Okay. I don't currently have anything up on my website because I've been very busy getting the manuscript out to people that were already interested in it. But I will try in the next 24 hours. I will have something up on there, and I will have a page, but it's illudium.com, illudium.com. And I'll have something up on there about it, a link to the I'm going to make a page just for this project, and I'll have a link up to there
cool.
the next day.
And I will make sure that my show notes get updated on my punk-ass website.
Honey, are you going to make sure about that?
I'm going to make sure about that. Yeah, this Gordon Biersch ain't no wimp of a beer either. All right, so I'm going to take us out of here, and tonight we're still working on Bottomland's album, Feet of Clay, and this is track number 11 from that album. It is a song called Sunlight Underwater. I really hope you enjoy it. Thanks again to Matt Jones for permission to play all of this wonderful music. Thank you to Audrey Fisher for arranging the ADD Cast theme. If you want to check out our website, we are addcast.net. And if you want to send us email, you can reach us at addcast@gmail.com. And this is Creative Commons licensed. The exact license will eventually show up on the website. What's the one that you mentioned, Hugh?
The one that I use on my website is the Attribution Non-Commercial 2.5.
Right. Attribution is required, non-commercial, and
After that, you can remix.
I want to allow people to make derivatives, so yeah. I'm just going to leave it at attribution, non-commercial. That's our license. And enough said about that. Here we go with Sunlight Underwater by Bottomland. And again, you can check out our website if you'd like to go to either iTunes or Amazon to buy their CD. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. I love you all, each and every one of you. Good night.
Of the coral reds and greens and aqua blue, but I hear you laugh and I feel like oh, I am dreaming. Whisper almost sound and play, but in your hair, well, I see you sleeping, and I feel like oh, I'm dreaming. To make love to you like crazy, it feels like floating and streaming. I'm water breathing just like sunlight underwater. Floating and streaming, I'm water breathing. Oh, all senses waving. Sunlight underwater, but as I feel your breathing so close to me, I can feel the sky.
don't know.